Hello and welcome to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, the podcast that examines conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact, and those who promote these theories. I'll be your host, Mike Bowler, as we take a look at conspiracy in the news for the week ending August 19th, 2018. And it's been a Alex Jones week in conspiracy. Not much I've seen on any other type of conspiracy other than the QAnon. So this is going to be a Alex Jones QAnon heavy show. And I think I'll just start with the QAnon stories. QAnon referenced by man arrested for threatening to kill Donald Trump. The story out of the Daily Beast talks about a fellow by the name of Jeffrey Gardner Boyd, 55, on July 31st in Berwick. After finding a loaded handgun and ammunition in Boyd's truck, Boyd is charged with 4 counts of making terroristic threats to kill Trump, daughter Ivanka Trump, son Donald Trump Jr., and son-in-law Jared Kushner. Boyd, who's pleaded not guilty at his arraignment, is being held on $1 million bail. His attorney didn't respond to requests for comment. Apparently, Boyd is under the belief that he was getting messages from Q, just like, but kind of a opposite that kind of linking the QAnon to MKUltra. I think I've talked about MKUltra. This was supposed to be the CIA mind control experiments that occurred in the 1950s, 60s. No one's really sure how far that program went, considering there were multiple programs, different objectives and interests. Under the main reasoning, of course, for MKUltra was that there was belief that the Russians were undertaking a similar program in brainwashing, mind control, so on. So this guy, Boyd, believes that he is under the control of MKUltra and had decided to chase down, or at least believe that, or at least making the claim that he's been programmed to kill the president, Donald Trump. I don't know how much far I can go with that. He's currently arrested. He's in jail waiting trial. We'll see what happens when that all comes together. And the second story out of NBC News, this seems to be a national story for NBC, that how three conspiracy theorists took Q and sparked QAnon. Now, it's a bit of a long article, but basically it ran through how the QAnon, the Storm conspiracy, had some of its roots, and basically linked it to three people. Of course, before there was Q, again, this was neat, an interesting part of the article, before there was Q, there were actually a number of Anon conspiracies, FBI Anon, a self-described high-level analyst and strategist offering intel about the 2016 investigation into the Clinton Foundation. Then the Hila Anon, an acronym for high-level insider who posts about various dubious conspiracy and riddles, including one that claimed Princess Diana had been killed because she found out about 9/11. Beforehand and tried to stop it. Then there's the CIA Anon, and the CIA intern took to the boards in early 2017, and last August, one White House insider Anon offered a supposed preview that something was going to go down regarding the DNC and leaks. And of course, QAnon is another in this series of anonymous messages. And apparently got it started on a 4chan board where Q posted predictions, who went by the user Pamphlet Anon and Barrick Barak the Scribe, all one word, reached out to Tracy Diaz, and according to Diaz blogs and YouTube videos, Barak the Scribe, in reality, a self-identified web programmer from South Africa named Paul Ferber, confirmed that account to NBC News. Apparently, these two had been posting numerous messages, not only possibly, I don't know if they were I don't see in this article if they were actually spreading actual QAnon, but they seem to be linked heavily with the QAnon postings. And of course, Diaz, a small-time YouTube star, once hosted a talk show on the fringe right-wing network Liberty Movement Radio, had found moderate popularity with a couple thousand viewers of her YouTube videos, analyzing WikiLeaks releases and discussing the Pizzagate conspiracy, a baseless theory that alleged a child sex ring was being run out of a Washington pizza shop. And of course, these two had built the QAnon story, which got the attention of Dr. Jerome Corsi. Jerome Corsi, I've talked about him before. He's a very prolific conspiracy writer. Number of his books, he's been a Obama birth certificate birther. He has talked about all number of different government conspiracies in the oil and corporate conspiracies and so on. That is all part of this secret cabal that's trying to run the world. And of course, he had jumped into the deep state conspiracy, but at some point he decides to back off. He has since disavowed QAnon conspiracy and called the current Q poster a fraud, citing a supposed takeover of the channel by someone posing as Q. But last week, facing backlash from his base, Corsi tweeted that he supported the QAnon movement and its supporters. Excellent research. Eventually, the person that went by Pamphlet Anon is actually his real name is Coleman Rogers, and apparently had developed grander plans. NBC was able to determine Rogers' identity through property records that linked the address where his business is registered to his parents' home and to photos from his personal social media account. Those photos show him to be the same person who appears on YouTube as Pamphlet Anon. Rogers did not respond to calls seeking comment, but acknowledged his receipt of messages from NBC News via his website Twitter, writing in part, "We do not talk to fake news." Rogers had been kicked off of Reddit, which that's where he's doing much of his work, and he hatched a new plan. He would replace the mainstream media, often a target of Q posts, with a constantly streaming YouTube network made up of self-described researchers who were putting together Q clues. Rogers and his wife, Christina Urso, had launched the Patriot Soapbox, a round-the-clock live stream YouTube channel for QAnon study and discussion. The channel is, in effect, a broadcast of a Discord chat room with constant audio commentary from a rotating cast of volunteers and moderators, with sporadic appearances by Rogers and Urso. In April, Urso registered Patriot Soapbox LLC in Virginia. Rogers and Urso use their channel to call for donations and are accepted through PayPal, cryptocurrencies, or mail. As in part because of the mounting claims against Patriot Soapbox, the web's largest pro-Trump community has banned all mentions of QAnon. Reddit's 640,000 member community, R the Donald, set up an auto-delete function for mentions of QAnon claims. The two moderators confirmed to NBC News, believing the group of YouTubers are making posts as Q. So we got starting to get some names on who's who on this, who's creating or at least fostering the QAnon conspiracies. Most of this seems to be amateur researchers who have undertaken the mission to get the word out about Q's messages. And of course, we'll see what comes out of that. And let's get into some Alex Jones. USA Today reports, conspiracy theorist Alex Jones destroyed evidence court motion claims. The article basically has to do with one or maybe all the cases. They seem to focus on the Posner lawsuit, but the latest court action against him filed in Travis County, Texas, and first reported by the New York Times, alleges that InfoWars intentionally deleted a variety of social media pages and video content related to the Sandy Hook shooting. Lawyers for the Sandy Hook families discovered the intentional destruction of evidence earlier this month, according to the court motion. So I don't know how much I can add on to that. It's just basically Jones being Jones. And of course, so now he'll sit there and deny that he ever made these videos, which of course, everyone who has followed or follows Alex Jones knows these videos are out there. And an interesting story. This is from The Hill. FCC targets pirate radio station that broadcasts Alex Jones. Actually, when I started looking into this story, apparently The Hill has pretty much screwed this article up. What I've been able to find out, and it was kind of funny, this article on The Hill had a link to the real story, but in The Hill article talks about the FCC shut down a pirate radio station, Liberty Radio, which apparently was being broadcast New York or New Hampshire, but actually it is the radio station Texas Liberty Radio, which had been illegally broadcasting on the FM 90.1, and that the FCC had tracked him down, was able to triangulate the station and stop the operation, which happened to be run by this fellow Walter Olnick and M. Ray Nadler Olnick, who were subsequently named as defendants in the lawsuit, and the apartment complex from which the station was transmitting is linked to them. It's kind of an interesting story on different levels. I used to try to seek out these pirate stations, mostly back in the younger days, where there were any number of these stations. And the way they operate, of course, using surplus broadcast equipment, they would set up in a van or someplace out of the way, usually choosing a frequency that doesn't interfere with a commercial, because the FCC is very hard-pressed to deal with pirate stations, and unless you're interfering with a commercial station or commercially licensed station, the FCC basically doesn't take any interest in you. It's when you start interfering with a real station is that's when you get into trouble, and they fairly quickly can track you down and shut you down. Many of these stations, of course, operated either in international waters, on a boat, kind of sailing just outside of the particular jurisdiction. There would be, in the United States, they would put the equipment in a van or so on, drive to a new location, set up operations, broadcasts, and then shut it down, move to a new place. So I think the only reason why this popped up is because this station was rebroadcasting the Alex Jones show. They weren't actually broadcasting Alex Jones the live or anything, or any, so this actually has no association with Alex Jones other than using his programming on their radio station. Now, whether or not they were targeted, more than likely, and a bit, from what I'm telling, can tell from the argument, that they were operating a illegal station, probably interfering with somebody. Not necessarily that they were playing Alex Jones programming, because I took a look at their, basically their schedule. There's a number of pretty much unknowns. They have a show called Erskine Overnight, Alfred Edask, Rule of Law Radio Program, Power of Prophecy with Tex Mars, which is probably a rebroadcast, unless I'm missing. Then there's the Vaccine Myth with Sean Siegel, which apparently they run 4 hours of that. Build Liberty Radio Show, The Crypto Show, and some rebroadcasts, a number of rebroadcasts of Alex Jones shows. So, yeah, I just thought it was interesting that here the Hill is, I sometimes get those articles, I don't treat them as high as maybe a CNN or a NBC News. This was really actually pretty bad reporting on the Hill's part, which is kind of disappointing. But really, the big story has been the Alex Jones denial of service attack. Apparently, early during the week, InfoWars went off the air, or the website went off the air, but then kind of came back pretty quick, of course, with a new homepage claiming that InfoWars is under attack. Jones had been live streaming what the situation was, that apparently Apple is paying the Chinese to hack his computers, according to Jones. And he kept that message going all day, and it actually still is going on. Even last time I checked on Friday this week, the same message was going out, though the page has now changed somewhat, where some of the old site was made available, or the original site. But you could go to his other websites. He runs this Prison Planet website. He has the Jones Report website, a handful of those. And then, of course, links to donate and links to his online products sales website. And I thought it was kind of fishy that Jones has been able to if his site was being under a denial service attack, how is he keeping a live stream going out over the internet? And when I started looking at Jones's, or trying to determine what his internet infrastructure is, I come to find out that, one, apparently the servers that Alex Jones uses is run by a company called Free Speech Systems LLC, which is owned by, as you can imagine, Alex Jones. It's possible that when I tried to find out who actually owned it or whatever the circumstances of this, what this company really is. Apparently, it's just a shell company to keep his web service, or operate his web servers, his basically where he houses his videos, do his live streams through, and so on. I think at some point it may have been owned both by his ex-wife or ex-wife-to-be, his estranged wife, Kelly, because I found one site is one where, there's a one of these I don't know what you call it, kind of like a who we are type page run by some local industry group or something. I don't know what this site was, but in the description of Free Speech Systems LLC, their services offered is bullshit. So I'm thinking Kelly Jones may have put that in there. So and Jones may not be aware, Alex may not be aware of that. But when I started looking at other things, because again, Jones has been kicked off of iTunes, YouTube, Vimeo, or Spotify. Now he's been kicked off of Vimeo. He's being curtailed on Twitter. So I started looking at how he sent, looking at the way his messages go out. And I was kind of wondering why Apple Podcasts still has his show. And it turns out if he's doing it how I do it for this podcast, he is maintaining his own RSS feed. His RSS feed is where it points to Apple, where it defined the media files. And it turns out when I go into that RSS feed, look at the source code, it is definitely coming from a website under Infowars.com. It's not coming from a outside source. And Infowars.com is being hosted by this Free Speech System LLC, which is owned by Alex Jones. So I am 90 to 95% convinced this is all a hoax to create a martyr complex or whatever he's trying to do to get his followers to send him money. So hopefully this backfires on him. I don't see anybody really talking about it. That's why I'm only 95% confident that this is what's happening. But I'm pretty sure Jones, in his infinite wisdom, has decided that this is a good route to go because he's being picked on by these corporate media companies who are now blocking his content, claiming that he's being censored. And of course, this is not what's happening. I did a Unseen podcast, which should be out by the time you hear this. I'll make sure I'll have a link in the show notes. But we talked about this a little bit toward the end of the show, and the issues of the censorship, or is it censorship, and the issues involved here. Because I made the statement, I kind of stand behind it, that Jones he's immoral, he has no empathy, he's just a psychopath, he's a narcissist, so on. And any type of debate with Alex Jones goes nowhere. And certainly Jones is not above lying to his listenership, stating these pretty much patently false facts, trying to throw a veneer of legitimacy, quoting kind of like what I do. I mean, I will admit that, yes, I go to a mainstream news source and I find the story and I'll talk about it. But certainly I am convinced that the earth is round. We're not being sprayed with chemicals. 9/11 was a handful of ticked off Middle Easterners who wanted to attack the United States. And the facts bear that out. Rarely does Alex Jones present any real evidence. It's mostly circumstantial. And, he never really looks at the story. He claims if so-and-so says it, he accepts it. That's why he loves Jerome Corsi, because it fits into his particular cognitive biases. But certainly, Jones to debate Jones is a mission in futility. You will never convince him. You'll never convince his listeners. He gives nothing back. He will never concede to being wrong. I'm happy to see him go away. But again, the problem is, so how far does this go? And that seems to be what was discussed in Unseen Podcast. So check that out. So that's pretty much our show for today, for this week. I have no real announcements other than, yeah, I'm way behind on getting the website, getting the feedback email working again. So I know I've promised, but work is getting in the way, and it might get in the way a little bit more. Well, there's more on that. I'll announce what happens there. So I think I'm going to leave it at that. This was episode 103, recorded on August 19th, 2018. Thank you and good night.